And our first scripture reading today is taken from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. That's Matthew 6, starting at verse 25. And so I didn't look it up in your pew Bibles, we normally do. And if somebody finds it there, perhaps you could yell out a page number. Page number 6, well that was easy. Page number 6 in the New Testament, so near the back. And Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 25. These are the words of Jesus. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. And reading also from Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 4. So that's Philippians chapter 4, and if somebody has a page number. 190, was it, sorry? 190 in the Pew Bible, so still in the New Testament, so still near the back. Philippians chapter 4, page 190, and starting at verse 4. And this will be the passage I'll be preaching from, so you might want to keep your finger in it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Thanks be to God for the reading of his holy word. It's hard to believe that we're entering into a new year this week and just a couple days away from 2020. And I remember as just a young lad thinking that the year 2000 was so far away. This was back in the 80s and thinking to the year 2000, boy, that seems such a distant. And here now it seems so far away the other way. And 2020, can you believe it? And so we're looking forward to celebrating that. And of course, some people celebrating along with that with birthdays, Bill, today. But Catherine has a birthday coming up, early January. So happy birthday to you on the January 2nd. There we go. And happy birthday to anybody else celebrating soon. But certainly we celebrate a new year, 2020. And as many people do, they look back at 2019. So we're going to do that a wee bit. In that, we're going to think about the verse of the year. And if you read the email that comes weekly to those of you that are subscribed to the emails, you will have seen that, yes, indeed, we're going to look at the verse of the year. And this is according to the Bible app for phones and tablets and whatnot called YouVersion. And YouVersion is a very popular Bible app for use on the phone and whatnot. And according to them, that year 2019, and this This was given back in November, early December, so it's probably more than this now. But they recorded that 35 billion chapters of the Bible were read with their app alone. So imagine there are many, many other Bible apps that you can download to your phone or tablet or computer. But YouVersion alone has had 35 billion chapters of the Bible read in 2019. Isn't that absolutely incredible and fantastic? And of course, that doesn't include people reading their print versions of the Bible. We still have those, right? So it's amazing to think how much the Bible is being read, and actually technology is helping that in our day through cell phones and such things. I can read the Bible to you in practically any translation you like, just on my phone. Still, I like to hold the print version. I'm a bit old-fashioned sometimes. But it's wonderful. So the YouVersion, they're able to keep track of things. You know how on the internet they all talk about security and privacy. Well, YouVersion is able to see not who does what, but how many people look at different verses. They're able to see how many people do a search for a particular verse. They're able to see how many people share a particular verse. And so they've done all the number crunching, and they've come up with the verse of the year. It's the most looked at verse. It's the most searched up verse of the Bible. It's the most shared verse. You know, you can click a button and share a verse with a friend or a relative through your phone. And so what is the most looked up, the most shared verse of 2019? It is, in fact, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Does that surprise you that that might be the verse of the year for 2019? It doesn't surprise me one bit, because it shows what's in the air of society today, and indeed not just our society. Remember, this Bible app is used around the world, really. But there's a lot of worry in our world. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of wonder about what's coming up next. What on earth will be on the news tomorrow or tonight? What headlines will there be? What will come up in our very lives? What will come up in our society? A lot of anxiety in the world today. And of course, experts are starting to say that part of the raising of anxiety amongst people today is cell phones, the very thing that brings you the Bible app and makes it possible to read the Bible, is also the very thing that is raising people's anxiety levels. The fear of missing out, you've heard of FOMO, the fear of missing out. The fear also of people seeing you online and not having a very good impression of you online. So there's lots of reasons for anxiety through the internet, through, of course, politics throughout the world, to our neighbors to the south, our British friends. There's lots of politicking going on, lots of anxiety, lots of worry. And Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, well, actually the entire book, was written by somebody who could have had a lot of anxiety. It was written by Paul in prison. So talk about being anxious, talk about being worried. He was imprisoned at that time, and he could have been anxious for his future. What comes next? Will he have a fair trial? Will he be let out? What will happen next? And we do understand that eventually he was indeed martyred and put to death. But at this point, he could have been very worried about such things. So here he is writing about do not worry, and he by himself is a man who possibly could worry, of course, and be anxious for his future. And he's writing to a people who could be anxious for the future, the Philippians. They are people who are facing persecution. You can look back in chapter 1 to read about how they're facing trials and tribulations and troubles, and they are being persecuted. And so we can look at the fact that they might be feeling anxiety too. So this isn't just some word from somebody in an ivory tower saying, don't worry, it'll be all nice because it's somebody experiencing all nice things. This is from the Apostle Paul, who, with the leadership of the Holy Spirit in his life, is writing, but also has been living a life of troubles, and which could have led him to great anxiety and worry. And yet, in the midst of that, he is the one to say, don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry. He can say that. So we're going to take a look at what the Bible says about this. And of course, you know by now that I can't just look at one verse. I have to look at it in context. So let's go back to verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. What do we learn from verse 4? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. We learn this. Rejoice even though you may be scared, mad, or grumpy. Does that ever describe you? Scared sometimes describes me. Mad? Yeah, that sometimes describes me too. You can ask my family about that one, especially during renovations. And grumpy. Does that describe you? Well, it's certainly descriptive of me when the motorcycle is not able to be on the road. So, yes, scared, mad, or grumpy, we may have these emotions. But it's interesting here that we have Paul saying, rejoice. He's not suggesting it. He's not saying, it would be good if you could feel happy. It would be good if you could think happy thoughts. He's not saying it would be good. He's saying, rejoice. It's an imperative. It's something you must do, is rejoice. Does that strike you a bit weird? It strikes me a bit weird until we start thinking about it. It's a bit weird in that, how do we have any control over our emotions? How much control do you really have over your emotions? How much control do I really have over our emotions? And it gets really frustrating when you're feeling grumpy and somebody comes along and says, oh, cheer up. As if you can just flick a switch, right? I have never found that switch on me. You know, have you found that switch? Because I haven't. So you're feeling down, and you're feeling down. Somebody says, just cheer up. Can you do it? Can we control our emotions like that? Is that what Paul is really saying here? Or is he saying something else? It's interesting. He writes this in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10. He writes about various situations he's facing, and yet he can say that it's despite all the bad things, there are good things in his life. So this is one of the things he says. Although sad, we are also rejoicing. Although sad, we are also rejoicing. Now take note of that, because notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, although sad, we have changed that to now be joyful. Although sad, we have now become happy. That's not what he said. He says, although sad, we rejoice. Even though we're sad, even though our sadness continues, we have learned to rejoice. You see, rejoicing is not so much an emotion as it is an activity. Rejoicing isn't really something you feel so much as it's something you do. And so therefore, when the Apostle Paul says rejoice, when the Bible says rejoice, yeah, that's something we can do even when our emotions aren't there. Even when we're grumpy. Even when we're scared. Even when we're mad. Yet we can do something. We can rejoice. Let me give you an example. I'm a bit unhappy about winter. Because I can't ride my motorcycle, right? So I might be grumpy. My emotions might be down about that, especially with freezing rain coming today. So I might be grumpy. But I can look at the fact that I've been able to ride the motorcycle every year since 1991, I think it is. You do the math, I'm terrible at math, that's why I'm a pastor. So I've been able to enjoy motorcycling all that time. And chances are pretty good that I'm going to be able to enjoy motorcycling in 2020. I take delight. That's what the word behind rejoicing there is behind it, this idea of being glad about something, taking delight in something. And so I can take delight in the fact that I've enjoyed so much motorcycling in my life, and I've got more to enjoy, especially this year coming up. So I can take delight in that, even though I might feel actually grumpy now. Now that's a bit of a shallow example. How about a deeper one? I'm upset that my mother is in a nursing home. That's not where I want her to be. I'm upset that my mother has Alzheimer's disease. That's not what I want her to have. That makes me very sad. But I can take delight in the fact that she's now somewhere where she's safe. I can take delight in the fact that she has safety at the Golden Plow there. I can also take delight in the many memories of great memories we've had, and there are good memories yet to be made together. And I can also take delight in the fact that her best days are yet ahead of her. She knows the Lord. She knows the Lord's love and grace. Her best days are ahead. And I thought in family life we had to experience some pretty good days in the past. Her best days are ahead. So I can take delight in that, even though at this moment I might feel rather grumpy about where we're at right now. And so you can probably think of examples in your own life where you're, oh, well, this isn't fun and I feel grumpy about this, or this is not good and I'm angry about this, or this isn't good and I'm scared. Whatever emotions, maybe you have different kinds of emotions going on this morning. You can feel those emotions. That's part of what it means to be human. And nobody's telling you to change your emotions. But we are commended here to an activity of rejoicing, taking delight. And that's something we can do as Christians especially, is take delight. And notice it's rejoice in the Lord. Always, again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the bigger picture. You see, God paints this beautiful big picture for us. And we rejoice when we look at that big picture. Our own perspective, when we see that person that hurt us, when we see that situation that's difficult, when we see something that's happened that makes us mad, something that makes us sad, something that scares us. In our own perspective, we have trouble getting out of that. But when we look at the big picture in Christ, of what we have in Christ, it's such a beautiful picture. We can focus, we can change our focus from our perspective and the bad things that we're facing, that the bad emotions it's bringing up in us, and take a moment to look at the big picture of what God has done for us, what God is doing for us, and what God will do for us in Christ. And it's a beautiful, amazing picture. And we take delight in that. We are glad about that. We rejoice in that. And that's part of what Sunday morning worship is about. We gather together to rejoice. So that whatever week we've had, and I'm sure we've had all different kinds of weeks in the past, and I'm sure sometimes you've come to church and you've just felt awful. By the way, that's one of the things as a pastor. You can feel awful, but you can't take the Sunday off. Did you know that? You can feel so awful that you just say, I'm not going to church today. I have never done that. Sometimes we pastors go through deep emotions, and sometimes we would just like to say, no, not today. But you know what? This is the place to go when you're experiencing those deep, yucky emotions, because we can rejoice. Take our minds and take our hearts off of our perspective and where we're stuck in life and look at the big picture. That's why worship begins with a call to worship, which usually is this idea of focus on God. In the early part of the service, we usually try to pick a hymn that is focused on God to get ourselves into the big picture. Here we are in the presence of God. Our perspectives with our troubles. Wow, look at this big picture God is painting for us about who we are in Christ and what good things Christ has for us. So rejoice, and rejoice in the Lord. The big picture which God paints for us is a beautiful picture indeed. It will lead us to rejoice. So that's the first thing. Rejoice even though you may be scared, mad, or grumpy. Here's the second one, verse 5. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. He could show up at any moment. So, live a good Christian life and let your gentleness be known to everyone. Now, what is happening there? Well, we could sum this up as keep your cool even though you may be bad enough to blow your top. All right? Keep your cool even though you may be mad enough to blow your top. Let your gentleness be known to all. You see, if the emotions take the forefront in our lives, either the grumpiness or the fright, or especially the anger, if those emotions take the forefront of our lives, guess what that affects? It affects not just us. It affects everyone who knows us. It affects everyone around us. It becomes a real negative thing in the air. It Not only will it take us down, it will take others down with us. So we want to relate to God. Paul's just said, rejoice. Look at the big picture. Rejoice in the Lord. Now relate to others with that picture in mind, rather than relating to others with your troubles in mind. Relate to the Lord with the big picture in mind, with the reality of God and what God has done for us and is doing for us and will do for us. With that reality in our hearts and minds, we relate to others. The word gentleness here has the idea behind it of fitting, of being appropriate, of being fair. So I can get back to the motorcycle illustration. I might be grumpy about, oh, it's winter and I can't ride the motorcycle. And so I might go in the house and kick the dog. That would be a bad thing to do, because then my wife would kick me. You see, that's how it would go. But obviously that would be an unfair thing, right? That my emotions cause me to lash out at another. Obviously that would be a dumb thing to do. And yet human beings do that time and time and time and time again, don't we? Yes, we do. We're frustrated. Other people suffer for it. We lash out at them. Sometimes we don't even know we're doing it. Let your gentleness be known to all. Let your gentleness be known. Keep your cool, even though you be mad enough to blow your top. Let your gentleness shine through. Sandra and I, we sometimes threaten to start a rock band, a heavy metal band that we're going to call Moments of Grrr. Now that's spelled G-R-R-R-R, right? Moments of Grrr. And detune, so drop D and the darn, darn, you know, it's going to be really loud and heavy. Because sometimes in life you get frustrated. And so that's one thing that's wonderful about music. It helps you express your emotions. So we want to start this heavy metal band called Moment of Grrr. Does anybody want to join it, by the way? But think of your moment of grrr. Is that affecting other people? Let your gentleness be known, not your rock music. Let your gentleness shine through, not your frustrations. Keep the big picture in mind as you relate to others, not your tiny little perspective. And yes, that tiny perspective is important. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But keep that big picture in mind in all of your relationships. Let your gentleness be known. Some people don't want to listen to heavy metal. So don't come along and be a heavy metal person in their presence. Sometimes we are wounded, and what happens, and we start flailing away with a sword. And sometimes we hit ourselves with it, sometimes we hit others. If you've been wounded, still let your gentleness be known to all. Yes, that's unfortunate you've been wounded, whether it's through health concerns or relational things or whatever, but let your gentleness be known to all. And by the way, gentleness is not an expression of weakness, but rather is an expression of strength, to be able to be gentle. All right, so now let's go to verse 6. So we've already looked at rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. So this is some we want to do what we can. But 6, do not worry about anything. Oh boy, that doesn't describe, nobody here needs to hear that word this morning, do they? Do not worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. In other words, pray, even though worry seems like the better thing to do. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes worry seems like the best thing to do, the only thing to do. Sometimes worry seems like just all we can do. But it's not. Pray, even when worry seems like the thing to do. You see, in praise and worship, in rejoicing, we put the big picture in the forefront. And we put our troubles in the background. We focus in on who God is, what He has done, what He's doing now, what He's yet to do. that all affects us. We can rejoice. We can focus in on God. Rejoice in the Lord. We rejoice in the Lord. And we relate to others out of the gentleness that flows from that big picture. But what about those troubles? Do they just stay in the background, always festering away? No, there comes a moment where you can bring them up to the foreground and put them on the table. You take those troubles. You take that grumpiness and those emotions. You take the anger and those emotions. You take the fright and those emotions, and you place them before God in prayer. You see, what happens to us is important and is important to God. So it's not like we're saying, whatever happens to you is not important, so just forget about it. That's not it. It is important. So deal with it. And the best thing to do is take it before the Lord and bring it back to the foreground. You've looked at the big picture. You've related to others with the big picture in mind. But now it's time to say, Lord, look. Look at what I'm going through. Look at what I'm worried about. Look at what brings me anxiety. Help me with this. In rejoicing, we've moved from moments of grief. We've moved it from our moments of grief to the background. Now we're bringing them back to the foreground. Lord, help me deal with these things. But we bring them back to the foreground, not so that they can consume us, and not so that they can affect how we relate to others, that we drag others down with us, but so that we can give them to God. We lay them on the altar, say, God, you deal with it. Be with me through these things. And what happens when we pray those prayers? Coming before God, do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We make the requests known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Here's the result. The peace of God will guard your heart and mind. And it's not just any peace. It's the peace of God that surpasses understanding. That can be a little tricky to understand, that one. The peace of God that passes understanding. You might think that phrase means the peace of God, which is beyond our understanding. We can't understand that peace of God. But actually, there's another way to look at that. It's the peace of God. And here's one translation puts it this way. It says, the peace of God, the one surpassing in value all reasoning. So the peace of God that is far better than thinking through things. Doesn't that put a little bit of a twist on it? The peace of God is so much better to have that than to be able to, in your own mind, figure out your troubles and sort them all out in your brain. That's what we try to do, right? We worry over things. That's what we're doing when we're worrying about things. We're applying our hearts and minds to the thing, trying to figure it out. And sometimes we just have to leave it not figured out. The peace of God. To just stand before God and say, you know what, you got it. And it was messy yesterday, it's messy today, and it might well be messy again tomorrow, but you've got it. And I can't figure out how to not make it messy, but God, you've got it. The peace of God, that He's got it, is far better than being able to figure it out how you can get it. You catching the reasoning there? The peace of God, the one surpassing, the kind of peace that surpasses in value all our reasoning. It's so much better to have the peace of God than to have it all figured out. And that's our trouble. We want to figure everything out. We want to know for certain what's going to happen tomorrow. Think back to the Apostle Paul as he's writing these words. He doesn't have it all figured out. He doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. The magistrates may come and they may say, no, today is the day that you die. Or they might come, oh, you're free to go. He doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But rejoice in the Lord. Relating to others with that big picture in mind, letting His gentleness be known to all. And praying. The Apostle Paul didn't know when he was going to die, but God's got it. God's got it. He also wrote, of course, obviously under the Spirit, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God works together for good. God works all things together for good for those that love the Lord. The Apostle Paul knew that. He didn't have life figured out, but he knew the one who did. And then notice in our scripture reading, when you get to verses 8 to 10, finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there's anything excellence and if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Notice this is still on that theme of where is your mind and heart dwelling? Is it on the anxieties of life and the things you're worried about? No, think of these things. You might not be able to do anything about the things you're worried about, but you can think about the things that are wonderful. You can rejoice in the big picture of what God has done for you and what God will do for you and is doing for you now. You see, we have something far greater than knowing every detail of the future. We have a relationship with the one who holds the future. So rather than sit alone worrying and stewing over things, I'm a master of doing that, by the way. I had a sleepless night last night because I was trying to figure out the plumbing under our tub. But anyway, rather than stewing over things, let's just go to God with it. Let's just go to God. So much better to have the peace of God, to have relationship with Him, than to have it all figured out. Let us pray. Lord God, sometimes, while we're human, we very often like to have everything figured out. We like to know each detail. We like to know what's happening the next day and the next day. We want to have it all laid out, Lord, and figured out. Yet, Lord, life is not like that. There are surprises. There are twists and turns. There are speed bumps along the way. There are detours. There are so many things in the journey of life that we would not choose, and we feel they are chosen for us or put in our path beyond our desires. So, Lord, we would ask that in everything, may we learn to rejoice in the Lord. May we see the big picture, knowing the great love and grace you have for us. May we always remember the big picture and be able to rejoice in that, even when we're scared or upset or mad or grumpy about something. May we see the big picture. May our gentleness be known to all. Lord, may we relate to others as a people of the big picture, a people in relationship with you. And Lord, may we be prayerful. May we indeed take the things that concern us and lift them up before you and thank and praise you because you've got it. You will be with us. You will take care of us no matter what happens with such things. So Lord, thank you for that. And thank you, Lord, for the peace of God, which is so much better than being able to figure things out. Thank you, Lord, for peace with you that is available through Jesus Christ. And it's made real in our lives through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for peace with you. When we're struggling with our emotions, may we indeed be in prayer before you, recognizing and enjoying that peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.